As we close out 2019 and we're on the very cusp of a new year, I want us to reflect tonight on those words that you just heard from Paul in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Again, for emphasis, Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The day after Christmas, a little boy took his bat and his baseball outside, and cocking his bat, he tossed his baseball up into the air, and he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world," and he swung and he missed. He said, "Strike one." He took the ball and he looked at it. He tossed the ball in the air, and as he was about to swing, he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world," and he swung again and he missed. He said, "Strike two." Well, he examined his hat, and he took that ball carefully in his hand. And the third time, he tossed that ball in the air, and he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world," and he swung as hard as he could, and he missed again. Strike three. Now, most people would have been discouraged after that, but this little boy said, "Wow, I am the greatest pitcher in all the world." You know, discouragement is one of Satan's most lethal weapons that he uses against the children of God. In fact, discouragement has turned many Christians away from the way of the cross. And one reason for that discouragement is due to an obsession with the past. We become obsessed with past failures, past victories, past leaders, past history. We can become historians in a way that hinders our forward progress. Yesterday at our house, we did something that I've been dreading for a while. We have to get some new ductwork done in the attic, and those folks said everything in the attic needs to come out. Well, we have 32 years worth of stuff in the attic. And I'm a sentimentalist, and I like to hang on to just about everything. But with Philip's strong body in the house yesterday, and with his help, we got that attic completely empty in about 3 or so hours. But then, of course, they wanted to open up the boxes of older toys, and it was so interesting to see them as they looked through the items that they really used to cherish and maybe yesterday enjoyed for another 30 minutes or so as they looked through at those older items. And, you know, as they pulled one out of the box, I could remember exactly, you know, where that was bought and the occasion that caused that particular item to be given to that child. Maybe it was a birthday in the past or a Christmas toy. And interestingly, we put batteries in some of the older toys, and they worked. They worked perfectly for the most part. And so all throughout the night, we generally had a good time yesterday, kind of reflecting on the past. And I guess that's all right to do. It's fine to be sentimental. It's nice to remember old times. But the point is, you know, whatever may be in our past, whether it's good or bad, the devil would love to use the past to get us stuck there. The devil wants to prevent us as God's church from moving forward towards greater work and service and accomplishment. Several years ago in a Nike advertisement, you would hear a voice come over the airway. The voice would say, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 200 games. 26 times I have been trusted to make the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Now, those words were spoken by Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player that ever stood on planet Earth. You see, those who succeed in life are those that don't dwell on the past. They don't allow the past to impede the present and keep them from making progress in the future. They don't become complacent in the past or obsess about the past or get stuck in the past. Those who succeed are those who let the past stay in the past, and they follow Paul's inspired advice. You know, Paul had a very shady and shameful past. A lot of people, if they had a past like Paul, would have been crippled by that past. They may have had the attitude, there's no way that I could ever accomplish anything for God in the future. Paul was a man that perhaps was the greatest persecutor of the church that ever lived. He gave his voice against those who were Christians that they might be put to death. How would you feel today? How would you feel if you could look back on your life and you were one that actually gave your voice so that those who profess faith in Christ would be killed? Paul took the lives of Christians. He says, I was exceedingly mad against the church. But Paul's instruction here to achieving success as a child of God was to remember to forget the past. And as 2019 comes to an end, I want to challenge your thinking as we put this year behind us and as we begin a new year, I want to think about some things, two things in particular that Paul had to say here that will help us to do that more readily. I think first of all tonight, we need to remember to recognize our frame. Knowing who we are by really examining ourselves. Notice Paul says here, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know, one thing that really holds people back from improving their lives is not just obsessing with the past, but perhaps the other extreme. Some people think that they have arrived, don't they? You know, they think they have it all together and their life is the way that everybody ought to live. They are the standard that everybody ought to follow and live by. Paul states here, I have not arrived in any way to a state of perfection. Paul understood that there were many things that he had to work on. There were many things that he needed to improve on in his life. And the same principle is true for us today. When was the last time you really stopped and did a spiritual inventory of your own life? You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Do we need to stop today and maybe examine ourselves? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, do I have a closer walk with God right now than I did when 2019 began? Am I closer to God now than I was then? Do I have a greater burden for those who are lost now than I did, hopefully, a year ago? Am I becoming more aware and more conscious of the fact that people all around me are lost with no hope of being saved when this life is over? And am I resolved personally that I'm going to do something about that? That it's up to me and nobody else to see that those I know hear the good news of salvation? Am I grounded deeper in the Word of God than I was a year ago? Am I growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Am I stronger because I am studying God's Word more? Do I have a greater passion to worship God and serve God now than maybe I did a year ago? Is coming to worship, is assembling together, is it still a drudgery in my life for me to be here and worship with the saints? Or am I growing in my passion to worship God, and not only to worship God, but to leave this building and to serve Him as faithfully and diligently as I possibly can? Do I exemplify God's place for me in my home? Now, Paul says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Now, the faith here that Paul talks about refers to that system of faith. It's that objective standard of truth. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's revealed will for our lives. The faith there includes the commandments of God. And since there are none of us who are perfect or who ever will be perfect, it's going to mean that there are times in our lives when we're not walking in the faith. But you see, the problem arises when we begin to think of ourselves as the standard for the faith. You see, everybody else is wrong. It's everybody else's fault. It's everybody else's kids. It's everybody else's sins. It's everybody else's decisions. And what we fail to do is to look at ourselves and to recognize our own frame. Paul says here, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. So the first point tonight that we need to think about from Paul's statement here is we need to remember to recognize our frame. The second point I want to make tonight from Paul's statement here is that we need to remember to stretch for the prize, to reach for the prize, having forgotten the past and not becoming paralyzed about the past. I need to reach for the prize. Paul said here in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, first of all, reaching requires effort on our part. Reaching requires extension. It requires getting out of our comfort zone. When I think about reaching and stretching, I think about somebody in a precarious situation. Maybe they're on the side of a mountain, or they're down in a hole below the ground, and somebody throws a rope to them, and the rope is just almost long enough to reach and grab, but it's not quite there. And that individual who wants to be saved stretches and reaches with all of his might to take a hold of that which can save him. I think about people in the Bible that reached and put forth the effort, got out of their comfort zone. God told Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 1, He said, Abraham, I want you to get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house and go to a place where I will show you. Lord, where are we going? I'll show you when we get there. Well, Lord, how long is this trip going to take? I don't know. I'll tell you when we arrive. Can you imagine the stretching and the effort that Abraham had to put forth to leave his family, to leave those familiar surroundings, and go to a place that God would later show him? That took great effort on Abraham's part. We turn to the New Testament in Matthew 4, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. You see, this wasn't an easy thing for them to do. It required great effort on their part. You think about a runner. A runner has to stretch and extend his muscles before that individual is able to run a big race. And as Christians, we must be willing to extend and to stretch some things. Maybe we need to stretch our faith just a little bit. Maybe we recognize the fact that God is powerful and we can see in God's Word and believe in the great things God can do. But do we really believe that God is able to do through us the things that we're capable of doing? We need to stretch our faith in God. We need to believe that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Maybe we need to stretch our ability some. I fully believe with all my heart that there are people in this building who have yet to do some things in the work of the Lord because you don't think you can do them. And perhaps you might be the best one at it if you would simply stretch your abilities and try. You can do things for God you never dreamed possible if you will stretch your faith and stretch your abilities. But not only does reaching require effort, reaching requires exertion. You know, running a race is not an easy thing to do, is it? There are cramps, there's fatigue, there's soreness, discomfort, other experiences due to the exertion that's required. I was hesitant to somewhat to share this tonight, but I remember it's been now 36 years ago when I won the state championship in the mile and 2 mile. Back years ago when I weighed only 125 pounds at 18 years of age. I can remember back at age 13 where I set as my goal, one day I'm going to win that championship. I'm going to do it. In eighth grade, I qualified for state, but you know what? I was lapped twice. Can you imagine being lapped twice on an 8-lap race, 2 miles? That's enough to get anybody to quit, right? But I kept on running. I kept on training. Older kids graduated. And I remember the day that that race came down in Troy, Alabama. I ran as hard as I could. And I'll never forget the feeling I probably will never have again, crossing that finish line totally and completely spent. Absolutely nothing left. I had to be carried off the track. I was physically unable to remove myself by myself from that track, but I accomplished that goal. Now think about that feeling of exertion, giving it everything that you've got. You know, reaching requires exertion on our part. Now think about Paul and the exertion he put forth. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times was I shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, and in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. And beside all those things that are without, there comes upon me daily the care of all the churches. Folks, that is exertion. That is reaching with exertion. Now see, the only person that's going to tell you that Christianity is easy is the devil. He'll discourage you every time. He wants you to think that Christianity is to be a religion of convenience, that, you know, your Christianity shouldn't really interfere with your everyday activities. It's something that you do on Sunday, and we don't want to make religion, we don't want to make Christianity, you know, something very difficult at all. That's the approach the religious world uses. But the word press here, when Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, in the original language, that word means to pursue. I love to watch National Geographic, and you see that lion pursue the gazelle. Laser focus on catching that prey. That's the word here that Paul uses. It's a great amount of effort. And then let me suggest to you that reaching requires expectation. Not only does it require effort, not only does it require exertion, reaching requires expectation. You know, one's not going to reach unless there's the expectation that there's something to be gained. We must have confidence in our reward. Paul had that confidence. That's why he was willing to do what he did. That was why he was willing to put forth the effort. Paul's confidence is stated in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. He said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The same thing that's true for an individual is true for the church. As a body of people, we need to put forth effort. As a body of people, we need to exert ourselves. As a body of people, we need to expect certain things. And we need to be unified in our efforts to try to take the gospel and fulfill our mission that Jesus Christ left us to fulfill, to take the good news to a lost and dying world. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The 2 points, we need to recognize our frame. And Paul says we need to reach for the prize. 2 men who were under the influence of alcohol one time found their way back to the dock where their boat was tied, and they wanted to return home. And they got inside their boat and they rowed and they rowed and they rowed all night until the dawn of morning broke. And they looked up and they were exactly where they were and had been all night. You see, they neglected to loosen the rope. They neglected to lift the anchor. They worked hard, 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 but they made no progress at all. And some people will never reach that heavenly shore because they're simply not willing to cut the cord that connects them to their past. Paul cut the cord. Paul acknowledged his imperfections. And Paul strove daily for the beautiful shores of that golden city of heaven. Tonight, as we end this old year and begin a new year, I hope you'll accept the challenge to do that yourself and lead others to do it as well. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, I can't think of a better way to end this old year than to become one with Christ in baptism, to demonstrate your faith in God by repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Or tonight, if you've been paralyzed by the past, you haven't forgotten the past and it's crippled you spiritually, you haven't been striving for the goal as you should, maybe tonight you need to come and make your life right as well. And so tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.